before you leave. I was just going to suggest that, we're working under very difficult conditions. Programs just get changed, and we are forced to adapt to the changes that have been made by the programming committee. In light of what has happened this week, it's quite clear that most of the issues that we had agreed that we will deal with in our program would not be able to, because we would always have 2 hours before the house starts. So I am suggesting that we just spend our week on this issue, the DCS, and the adoption of our BRRR reports. I foresee a situation even today we might not be able to finish with the DCS, so they might need to come tomorrow, and then on Friday we adopt the BRRR reports. And then next year when we come, then because we agreed that we need a detailed engagement on the program, so then we do that next year. How is that, members?
We agree, Chair.
Thank you.
Yes, agree.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. What is the time now? I can't see it on my screen now. It's 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning to everybody. Today we will be dealing with the annual report of the Auditor General and the Department of Correctional Services. I have received apologies from Honourable Minister, who is attending the National Command Council. The Deputy Minister of Correctional Services is opening up some project in the Eastern Cape. So the Department of Correctional Services will be led by the National Commissioner, Mr. Arthur Fraser. And I've also received an apology from Ms. Jekimu Fukeng. She is attending a joint standing committee on intelligence. Those are the apologies that I have. Any further apologies? Then before we deal with the early departures, let's first deal with the apologies. Any other apologies?
Good morning, Chief.
Honorable Romano.
We've got an apology from Honorable Chancellor. It's with the Magistrates Commission.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, Honorable Chancellor is in the Magistrates Commission. So I think those are the apologies that we have so far. And then early departures, it's Honorable Glenis Breitenbach and Honorable Stephen Schwartz. Hello?
Chairperson, Jane Masite, Chairperson of Correctional Services Audit Committee. I would request that I leave at 11, and if the meeting will still be on, I'll be back, because it's just for 1 hour I can join the meeting again.
No, we would be done. This meeting should be done at least by 10.
Okay,
sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Before I hand over to the Office of the Auditor General, we have all the report. We have read it tonight. It's taken as read. So we will give you 20 minutes to go through the a lot to be answered for by the department. As today and tomorrow, I think there's a lot to be answered for by the department. So we'll give you 20 minutes, Auditor General.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. Also, good morning to the Commissioner and the Chairperson of the Audit Committee. Chairperson, I've got also with me Ms. Mbali Totsetsi, who is our Deputy Business Executive, and Mr. Yongama Madolo, who is the Senior Manager responsible for the audit. I think given the time constraints, we've got the presentation that we normally do is a bit longer, but what we will then do is we will only focus on the first part of the presentation that deals with the actual outcomes of the department. Then maybe at some other time we can just take the committee through the rest of the presentation that basically deals with the MI process and the tentative controls. So I will hand over to Mr. Madolo then to do the presentation for us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you. The presentation, am I audible now, Chair? The presentation is the focus then for the presentation with the audit outcomes and touching on the financial health and treatment of the department. Okay, I will take the presentation as read and just try to zoom in and focus more on the critical areas. Okay. The first slide today is just touching on our reputational promise as the Auditor General, touching on our constitutional mandate and the oversight to which we pay as an office. This slide shows the performance of the department. On the audit outcome chair, we focus to examine mainly three areas, which is around the financial statements and also the auditor predetermined objectives and also compliance with all the laws and regulations governing the financial matters. In performing those tasks, chair, we express those opinions. Starting from a right, which is we can express a disclaimed opinion, we can express an adverse opinion, we can express a qualified opinion, which is where the department is currently, and if the more the proof.
Mr. Ngama, those slides, you always present them. We know those issues. Let's go to the meat of why we are here today.
All right, Chair. Thank you, Chair. So in terms of just the slides, the percentage which we expect in the slide, DTS doesn't have entities as we know, so we'll always be talking about the department itself. The accountability will, which is something that we've presented as well in the last cycle, so I'll just skip this one. Then the cash share on this slide is showing the outcomes of the past 5 years. So you will notice that for the past 4 years, the department has received a qualified opinion. It was only in the 15-16 where it was an unqualified opinion. Looking at the credibility of the financial statements which were submitted by the department, the submissions were made on time, which is consistent to last year. And also, but we did have a qualification on irregular expenditure this year. As compared to last year. Last year we had two qualification areas. It was irregular expenditure, which is on completeness, and also on commitment. But this year it's on irregular expenditure, the completeness. And also on the credibility of the performance information, the department did submit their APR. There were errors which were noted, and from the APR, there were material findings which were identified during the audit that were not corrected, and these were reported in our audit report. Which takes me to the second section, Chair. For this year, for this audit, we focus on Program 2. So there on the slides is showing the results of the 2 years, which is 18-19 and 19-20. So you would note, Chair, the graphs that you see there represent that the reports which were presented for us for audit did have findings, so in both years. So the main areas where we had concerns on within the program, Chair, is on those indicators, the percentage of overcrowding in the correctional centers, and also the number of new bed spaces which were created. So in the percentage of overcrowding, Chair, there were lack of accurate and complete records to support the reported achievement. And the number of bed spaces, then the achievements was not consistent with the planned target. So those were the main issues that we have, the material findings that we had on performance. Then looking at compliance with legislation, the main five non-compliance which were identified, which there were material findings that we had on management of procurement and contract, the prevention of irregular expenditure, which I would talk to the qualification implementation of systems with the annual performance plan, and also around consequence management, where we were unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that the steps were taken. This around the consequence management, it talks to irregular expenditure, fruitless and unauthorized cases. Those are our focus areas. So once again, even on the buzz share, you will notice that this is the same issue that we had findings even in the previous year around this area. On the status of internal control, Chair, for this year, looking at the three categories around leadership, financial performance management, and also governance, you will notice that from an oversight responsibility, which is consistent from prior year, there's intervention required there. On the action plans, there was a slight improvement in the sense that there was a reduction in also in the number of the findings and also the action plans that were implemented by the department. But however, we still have a qualification, so there's still some work that needs to be done from the department's point of view. On the financial performance management, just touching on the proper record keeping, the daily management controls, and the reduction of compliance, those are still the areas that we have. And from the governance point of view, from the risk management and audit committee, there was an improvement this year, but however, there's still some areas of concern, there's still some improvement that still needs to be made in that regard. And from the assurance providers, the first level, we talk to senior management, the accounting officer, and executive authority. From the colors, it's also explained at the bottom, share if you get a more understanding what does each color mean. So from senior management, we had a red, which means they provide limited or no assurance. And from the accounting officer's side, the executive authority, we conclude that there's some assurance being provided. From the second level, which is the internal audit, there's some assurance being provided, and also the audit committee. Moving to the financial health and financial management chain, the three main areas which we looked at, which is around the revenue management, the assets and liability management, and also the cash management. So on all the three areas, there are some areas of concern which needs to be looked into around for revenue, around collection of debt, and also looking at the cash management, the negative cash balance, which I think needs to be looked at as a year end when we performed our audit. Going into the fruitless and wasteful over the past 3 years, Chair, you will note that in the prior year, there was an amount of 3 million which was reported for fruitless. This year it's 518,000. The 518, the biggest contributor share is the interest on overdue municipal accounts, which amounted to equivalent. Then from a investigation team of the cases of fruitless and wasteful, in 18, we reported that there were no cases that were investigated around the fruitless. However, this year in the 1920, there was 69% of the cases that had not been investigated. Moving to irregular expenditure share, from the investigation point of view, from the two years 18-19 and 19-20, in 18-19 not all cases were investigated. But however, this year in 19-20 we couldn't get adequate evidence to enable us to verify whether the investigations did take place from an irregular expenditure point of view. You note, Chair, on the right-hand side that in the prior year, irregular expenditure was reported at 159 million. This year is just over a billion. This increased share in irregular expenditure comes about the qualification which we had last year, which was on splitting of orders on irregular. So management did go back and revisit the population, which gave rise to those cases which were identified by management. The nature of other irregular expenditure which were identified, Chair, is around which all these categories which I'm going to touch on have not been disclosed by the department in the financial statement, which is around the competitive bidding process which was not followed, non-compliance with the FITA Act, the three price quotations not obtained, and contract variations in excess of 20%. On this slide, Chair, we're just indicating how the cases which were reported by management relating to SAM misconduct, all of them, which is considered even with last year, they took longer than 3 months. In 2018-19, we reported there were 10 cases relating to SAM misconduct, and this year it was 10 possible fraudulent cases which were reported by the department. I think then, Chair, as we indicated, the second part of the presentation will then be explained in the other session. But I think maybe something to mention, Chair, just linking to the material irregularities, was that for this year we had not identified any material irregularity. There were irregularities, as I explained, from an irregular expenditure point of view. But however, from a material irregularity, we have not identified any. Thank you, Chair. I'll then take questions at this point. Thank you.
Yeah. Maybe while we're waiting for the chair, Mbali, can you maybe continue with the slides on the material irregularities? Thank you.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and members. I'll take you through the two slides on material irregularities. As we have explained that the material irregularity process was implemented because the Public Audit Act was amended in 2019. It was effective from the 1st of April 2019. If we can move to the next slide, Yungamu. Thank you. So I just want to explain the term material irregularity, what it means. So in the regulations, explain this term. It basically means any non-compliance with the contravention of legislation, fraud, theft, or a breach of fiduciary duty that was identified during an audit performed under the PAA that resulted in or is likely to result in a material financial loss, the misuse or loss of material public resource, or substantial harm to a public sector institution or the general public. So what it means is that as we are doing our audit, we further investigate the non-compliance to see if there was any financial loss that was linked to that non-compliance. And if yes, there was a material financial loss, it will then result in a material irregularity, which will be communicated to the accounting officer for them to address it. And if they fail to address the material irregularity, then it means that we invoke some of the powers that are indicated in the previous slide, meaning that we can then refer that material irregularity to other public bodies that deal with that particular area of the material irregularity, or we can then take a next step, which is remedial action if the accounting officer has failed to implement our recommendations. And if they also fail to implement the remedial action, then the last step will be to issue a certificate of debt to that particular accounting officer. So Chairperson, like Yongama has indicated, for this year under review, DCS was one of the audits that we are facing in for this material irregularity process. However, we could not identify a material loss that is linked to the non-compliance that was identified. Because as indicated, there were a number of issues that we identified where there was non-compliance with key legislation. However, we could not identify the impact, which is the financial loss. And that is why then we did not issue any notification of a material irregularity to the accounting officer. Thanks, Chair. Chair, can I continue then with the other slides? Seeing that you still have some time.
Yeah, continue.
Thank you. The next slide talks about root causes. So having done the audit, we then look back and summarize the root causes behind the findings that we have raised for this audit. So the three main root causes that we identified were first, the slow or no response to improving the key controls or addressing the risk areas that we had indicated to management in the prior year. So although management did put in place an action plan, but it was not fully effective to address all the issues that were raised. And that is why we see some recurring issues being raised again in the current year. The second one is inadequate consequences for poor performance or transgressions. As we also indicated earlier in the slides, we look at consequence management in relation to fruitless and wasteful expenditure and irregular expenditure, and we determined that there was no movement or there was low movement in terms of investigating those cases, and as a result then steps were not taken against officials that contravened legislation. The third one is instability or vacancies in key positions. We have seen that there are some vacancies that have been left and not filled for longer periods, and that also has an impact on the outcomes that we are seeing. In the next slide, we then give some recommendations to the accounting officer on how to deal with the findings that we are raising. The first one is that the accounting officer must design and implement the action plan to resolve audit findings. So the key part is the implementation of that plan, because as much as it can be developed, but they need to also implement it to resolve the issues. Secondly, management must follow up on the progress made with implementation of the plan, like I indicated, and they also must fill the key vacant positions that we've noted that are part of the root causes, and lastly, to implement consequence management for irregular and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Honourable Chair, we also have some recommendations to this committee that you can also implement as part of your oversight role. The first one is to provide oversight into the implementation of the action plans to address the audit matters. So that action plan that the accounting officer is going to develop should also be brought to this committee to indicate the progress in addressing the audit matters. And the second one is to monitor implementation of consequence management. This slide, Chair, just highlights some of the key efforts that we put in place as the Auditor General to try and assist accounting officers in implementing our recommendations. The one that I want to highlight is the status of records review, which we do as an early warning system to assist the accounting officer in implementing the recommendations. So we draw the attention of the accounting officer to the risky areas that they need to address before they submit financial statements, and also the annual performance report, trying to assist them to deal with the issues that might be picked up during the audit process. The next slide, Chairperson, deal with preventative controls. This is again another effort that is put in as Auditor General, again to try and assist accounting officers to build a good control environment. So Chair, I'll just highlight briefly what preventative controls is all about. We have issued some preventative control guides that will be also be shared with you as the committee, so that you can use those guides as part of your oversight processes. So what we were explaining in those guides is that all entities have certain business processes, and what we are saying is that all these business processes should include, or they must build preventative controls within all those systems in order to prevent errors and also to prevent non-compliance with legislation. By doing so, entities then will be able to build a strong control environment, and therefore allowing the assurance providers to be able to provide the necessary assurance, and those being senior management, the accounting officer, and the governance structures. Because failure to implement or design the right preventative control has certain consequences, and we are highlighting those consequences at the bottom of the screen, and those may be material irregularities and poor audit outcomes. It can also result in financial losses to the department, costly investigations, disciplinary processes, as well as litigation, which can be avoided if the entity does put in place proper preventative controls.
You have 1 minute.
Thanks, Chair. I'm wrapping up. So like I indicated, we'll be sharing these guides with you. So so that you can use them in your oversight processes to try and assist the accounting officers in implementing the correct preventative controls. So, Chairperson, these preventative controls guides have been distributed by the office and are available and will be made available to yourselves as well to assist you in your oversight function. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Office of the Auditor General. Chair of the Internal Audit Committee.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, AG, for the report. Chairperson, in the annual report, we have included the report of the Audit Committee. However, I want to bring this to the attention of the audit of the Portfolio Committee to say we are concur with the Auditor General's opinion, and we are supporting Auditor General in the recommendations, and also to say, yes, we have noted slight improvement in terms of what management has implemented. However, there is still much that got to be done in terms of us to turn a corner. We have recommended to management to come up with a robust audit action plan. And we have been saying that every year. And Chairperson, you might ask me, what is the difference? But what we have said to management, they must look at the root causes. I think some of the root causes have already been identified by AG on matters that have been raised by the audit report to say, where did we go wrong, Chair? And we also recommended that in terms of the issue on irregular and wasteful expenditure, we need to look at our consequence management system as to whether does it really yield the results that you want to. We recommended to the accounting officer for them to look at the systems that they have put in place. They do have other systems that they have put in place, but the question is, we do see that the process of consequence management according to accounting officer is moving, but what we said is the impact thereof, because we have where there are recoveries, but the recoveries are so limited, and the system is there, but the benefit of the system got to be tested, and accounting officer is aware of that. And the other issue that we recommended, I'll talk to the other recommendation that I think you can look into, the enforcement unit and departmental investigation unit, and even HR from the disciplinary part of it, they need to work together, because consequence management is not only about punishment. We also need to check as to why are we finding ourselves in this situation. So the recommendation that I will discuss as well with the commissioner is for us to see as to whether can't we have a committee that deals with the discipline, which is normally called disciplinary board. I've seen in other departments that I'm sitting, they have established that disciplinary board, just for us to be able to complete the cycle of a consequence management. And further, Chair, I'm glad that AG has given you some key commitments, the two key commitments. I've recommended to management that we need to have a robust key commitments framework as well, where all the stakeholders, including the oversight, we have a role that we play in this, and I will submit that key commitments framework. We might not implement it this year, but from management side we'll try and implement, because in the report of AG there are key commitments that they have already identified, and if we follow that, because they are from the status of records review process that they did, it will assist the process, Chairperson. And then from the internal audit, we have approved the strategic plan, a risk-based plan, that includes some of the areas as identified, Chair. So I think we will really try to implement the systems, and I'm glad that we have this this line of communication. And I'm apologizing that the other time I could not attend the meeting, and I promise that I'll attend all the meetings, and we will, from the audit committee, report on quarterly basis on matters that are raised by AG and on other matters, because it's not only about looking at the audit opinion. We need to put the clean administration systems in place. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Masita. If I may just ask you, a very basic question before I allow other members. The level of experience of the senior executive, it ranges for how many years to how many years generally on average?
Chairperson, I don't understand the question. Senior executive, where chairperson in the organization?
Yes.
Normally they say between 5 to 7 years, so I'm not sure whether the answer is correct.
Okay. No, thank you very much. I've noted the following members, Honorable Horn, Honorable Jamestown. I had also seen Honorable Jale, but I don't see her anymore. Let's start with Honorable Horn.
Wilma as well, Chair.
Honorable Nibut Dachan. Honorable Noma Temba Jale is back. She will summarize. She'll be the last one. Honorable Horn.
Thank you, Chair. I really want to just ask two questions to the AG based on their presentation this morning. The first is they talk about an early warning system which should enable DCS to address those issues pointed out during previous audits. But yet we are faced with a report this morning to say that the same issues regarding irregular expenditure, the fact that it occurs, but secondly the fact that it's not properly dealt with by DCS, that situation is unchanged. So the question to the AG really then is please explain to us how the early warning system works so that we as a portfolio committee can understand how it is possible then that the early warning system does not bring the necessary results. So that's the first question. The second question I want to ask, Chair, is that the one very interesting finding by the AG also in respect of irregular expenditure and consequences to irregular expenditure is the fact that they said that last year they were quite sure that no investigation of irregular expenditure related possible misconduct took place, and this year it is a slightly amended finding to the effect that they say there is insufficient evidence of disciplinary steps. So I want to understand what they mean with this finding that there's insufficient evidence. To the best of, in simple terms, in practical terms, it should really not be difficult for anybody to prove that there was an investigation of possible misconduct and that there was a disciplinary hearing where if somebody was found guilty, consequences by way of sanctions and penalties were imposed. So from where I'm sitting, I'm really struggling to in my own mind, create the possibility where there could be insufficient evidence. What does it mean in practical terms? Does it mean that there's no record, no reports, no recordings of either investigations or disciplinary hearings? That there's nothing on record regarding consequences in terms of penalties and sanctions imposed if there was findings of guilt on the part of certain officials. I can't understand how that can happen. So if the AG can just in practical terms explain to us what they mean with insufficient evidence, I think we would have a clearer picture as to what went on at DCS in that financial year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. My questions are similar to my colleague, Honorable Hall, but I look at these findings, and the depressing part about them is that those findings continue year after year after year, and some of them are so easily avoided. For example, there's fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred as a result of interest paid relating to late payment. I mean, how difficult is it to create a system that would enable whoever's responsible within the department to provide payments on time to avoid late penalties. That, you know, goes unexplained by anyone, not this year alone, but previous years as well. And that brings me to consequence management. I'd very much like to know from the department at some point whether any consequence management has taken place, whether anybody has been held to account, because until such time as people are held to account, this thing will carry on year after year after year, as it has for the last, I don't know how many years, been the situation with the Department of Correctional Services. And I'd very much like to know by the name of the person concerned and the sanction invoked, what consequence management has taken place for irregular, wasteful, and irregular expenditure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Members, I'm proposing the following. Let's make this to be more conversational. I've noticed that Honourable James Bell, most of the questions would be better answered by the department. So we would not wait for the department to present when there are questions, because I mean, we have gone through all these reports. When there are questions directed at the department, in the presence of the AG, they would ask, they would answer, and the AG would answer, so that we are in a better space to make, to form an impression when both parties are here and how they answer our questions. So it's not going to be an issue that it's only the AG that is going to answer. Questions that are pointed at the department will have to answer immediately. Honorable Newwood.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you very much. And thank you to the AG for their report. Most of the questions I wanted the department to answer, but at the same time, I wanted the AG's perspective as well. If we go to slide 18 and 19 of the AG's presentation, there is a red part that says all cases not investigated, 2018 to 2019, and then 2019-2020, 69% not investigated. And the same with slide 19. So both says not all cases investigated, where you say inadequate evidence. Now, the inadequate evidence to enable verification. So I would like to know if the AG can explain to us what they mean about that. What does it really, really mean? Because will they never be able to get the evidence? Will they never be able to investigate? And then on the other side, from the department, I want to ask the department, why is this the case? Why can't you get the verification of evidence? What does that mean? And then the AG recommendations. The AG's perspective, will the department be able to achieve the AG's recommendations as stated? The reason why I'm asking the question is that the areas of concern has been since 2016 going, you know, onwards. So 2015 was fine, but then subsequently qualified reports, etc. So what is the AG's perspective? Will the department be able to achieve these recommendations from the AG? And then the department, what is the AG's perspective? What does the department need assistance with from the AG's office or any other body to be able to implement the recommendations made by the AG? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honourable Turner.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Chairperson, I have few questions. I think most of the questions that I wanted to touch on, my colleagues
just mentioned them, but I think I'm just going to ask on some few also, just in addition, because my question would be to the chairperson of the internal audit that there's a statement that she said in towards the end that much still has to be done to assist the situation. And then she also mentioned the issue of plans that has to be done. My question is that, Chairperson, just like the same question with my other colleagues, what kind of plans that will really help to deal with the situation? Because I would think that plans has always been there to assist, because this situation, as my colleagues just mentioned, that these things, they date back to 2016 and all that, even before that maybe. But where we are now, we're talking in terms of saying, Chair, even last year, we were facing the very same situation. I want to know what kind of plans really that the auditor is talking about here, so that we may know, because in one of the recommendations is that we need to also to up, just in simple terms, our oversight. What kind of an oversight that will help these officials or our officials? Because I see us not getting better every day, Chairperson. That is the first one. So the other one, Chairperson, I want to find out from the auditor, the office of the auditor, what are the reasons sometimes that the department is giving? When, because this report, I don't think it started with them. What are the reasons that they are really giving to them as to why is this situation not resolved? And then the department, Chairperson, why are they not dealing with this issue of consequences management once and for all? Is it because maybe it's the officials, some of these officials are friends or what? Can they really tell us? Because we cannot be coming here talking about investigation, step not taken, investigation not taken every year. Can the department assist us? Do they have the willingness to resolve these matters, Chairperson? And also, lastly, from the chairperson and the office of the auditor, I just want to know what is the attitude of the official or our officials in terms of correcting the situation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Jale. Office of the Auditor General, can we go back to the slides that deals with assurance by senior management accounting officers and the executive authority? If that might take time, you are saying that there is limited assurance from senior management. No assurance from the accounting officer. And the executive authority provides some assurance. I would say, what do you mean? What were you expecting? What was not met? I do think that that question is at the core of the issues that honorable members were raising, in particular Honorable Jale. I would also like to ask a question to the accounting officer. Firstly, is the acting CFO present, or the CFO?
Yes,
the CFO. Oh, they are present, okay. The Auditor General says has problems with the usefulness of performance information and compliance with key legislation. Now, if there is a problem with the usefulness of the performance information, why should you believe the report that you are about to present? What is it worth for? No system of declaring irregular expenditure. There is no reliable reporting of achievements. And for me, that is the biggest disclaimer. So why should we waste time and listen to your annual performance plan when clearly there is a problem with the reliability of that information? And it said that your annual performance plan, your annual performance report has errors. That is from the Auditor General. Lack of accurate and complete records to support reported achievements. I mean, for me, that statement alone gives me serious problems as to why should I read something that it might not be true at all. Why should we allow you to report to South Africans if there are these serious gaps? Because it's quite possible that that information, whatever achievements you might be telling us, there is nothing backing them. At worst, they might not be true. At best, if they are true, there's no basis, there's no support for that particular conclusion. What should we tell South Africans about the running of this department? And when I was looking at the report yesterday, is that you have liquidity problems. I know you generally would blame National Treasury, but the report of the Auditor General says that there is a possibility that you might not be able to pay your creditors. So if you're a state-owned company or a private-owned company, you would be said you're insolvent. Now, there has been the issue that honorable members have raised, little progress in dealing with consequence management, especially on irregular expenditure, which runs into millions of rands. I mean, for me, between you and the Department of Justice, I'm not sure who is the best in competing for being the worst. I have no time, generally, I have no time for plans and action plans that people develop knowingly that they are not going to implement them. I asked the chairperson of the audit committee that on average your management has got how many years of experience, because with respect,
issues that have been suggested to you that you must do are not even 101. Now, if you have people, as she said, that they are between 5 and 7 years, others I think even more, and you still have to be told to do things that are very basic. Issue things that they're not even operational, they're clerical. The question that you must ask, answer us, are you fit for purpose? This 22, over 22 billion rands, is it safe in your hands? We can't have a country that is facing such financial challenges and such an amount of money is placed in the hands of people who are just failing to do mere clerical things. There is nothing particular nor difficult about the recommendations that the Auditor General has been making to you over time. There are two issues. It's either you have no competency at all of implementing them, which means you are not fit for purpose, or you don't want to implement them. Then in that case, there is going to be a strategic misfit between the country and yourself. Over to you. Let's start with the Auditor General.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members, for this question. I will start off and then I will hand over to Mr. Madolo then to also respond to some specific questions. The first question was, the Honourable Member wanted a bit more information about what is it that we do throughout the audit process. It's also covered on that one slide which Mr. Tetsi dealt with. So we do what we call the status of records review during the audit process. We normally do that to a large extent during the planning of the audit already, where we basically look at the status of the records, we look at key reconciliations, key controls, we do a follow-up on the prior audit findings, and we then prepare a report which is then discussed with management and with the accounting officer, where we then already highlight areas which we believe needs attention, key control that we believe is not in place, key issues that needs to be focused on. That then gives already an opportunity for management to get a formal report to enable them to focus on correcting whatever is needed to be corrected. Then we also do an interim audit. So during the interim audit, we then actually go and select transactions all over the country at the various centers that we audit, and even head office. We actually do audit supply chain management transactions, and we issue a management report to management, which gives management then the details. The purpose is first of all to help us to progress in the audit, but secondly, the advantage for management is that they also get in time feedback on what is actually happening on the ground with the day-to-day transactions. I will let them, Mr. Madolo, there was a few questions about the consequence management, and I think I will at the end hand over to Mr. Madolo just to then give you more details about the consequence management that will help you a lot. There were specific questions on slide 18 and 19 And that is also the ones which Mr. Madola will give more details on. So there was a specific question about the recommendations and to say, so what is maybe needed in more practical terms. So if one look at the areas where we still have significant audit findings, it's mainly in the area of supply chain management and in the area of performance information. So if you look at the area of supply chain management, typically what should happen in that environment is that there should be controls in place to make sure that whenever procurement is done, that it is done within the rules and regulations and prescripts. And then, of course, it would be important. Procurement happens in many cases in a decentralized environment, and that is where management plays an important role to actually make sure that there's enough training that is taking place, that internal audit focuses enough on those specific transactions to highlight any non-compliances. And then very important in the procurement processes is planning. There's many large contracts that that are in place, and it's very important that those contracts are managed on a regular basis to determine well in advance when will a contract come to an end, because the supply chain management processes to go out on tender takes fairly long, and that those processes can be put in place so that by the time that the old contracts end, the new process should be in place. So there's also a training element which is very important, because it's important that whoever is working in the supply chain management arena should actually be well familiar with all the supply chain management prescripts. When it comes, then there must also be systems in place for identifying irregular expenditure. And it's very important because procurement happens all over the correctional centers. And there should also be a system in place for management of performance information. And we believe that if the system can improve for managing performance information, that will actually result in a situation where the performance information that are reported is accurate and complete. So it's a focus on a well-managed system for performance information. Then there was a specific question that dealt with the various levels of control and specifically in the role of leadership and the role of management. That was the question of the chairperson, where we say assurance provided by management is red, and assurance provided by the accounting officer is red. So it is important to understand the role of each of the various role players when it comes to assurance providers. So the first level of assurance providers is management. Management is supposed to, on a daily and weekly and monthly basis, make sure that the internal controls and the policies and procedures of the entity is actually documented, is effective, and make sure that they are actually implemented on a daily basis. From a senior leadership and an accounting officer's perspective, it is important to exercise oversight to make sure that those policies and procedures are then effectively implemented, and that if not, that the necessary steps are taken. Of course, also important at that level to ensure that vacancies are filled, and that consequence management actually takes place. So the department should have mechanisms to control that on a regular basis. One of the key mechanisms that the accounting officer can use is actually internal audit, whose key focus is to actually focus on the implementation of of control. Therefore, they should follow a risk-based audit approach. So if we look at the DCS environment, one would then typically want to see a situation where a lot of internal audit focus will be on the supply chain management environment as well as in the performance system environment. So in the case of performance information, there's a quarterly reporting process. So it would be important for internal audit to actually audit the quarterly report and to verify it and to make sure that they are accurate and complete, and if not, to already report at that point in time to management for further action. Chairperson, I will stop there, and then I will hand over to Mr. Madolo just to talk about the questions on consequences. Thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Sorry, Ongama.
Okay.
The previous person who was speaking, you spoke about the role of the management and accounting officer. In this case, you have also explained the role of the executive authority. What were you expecting? And what is it that you got? Does it meet your expectations?
Chairperson, the role of the executive authority is, first of all, to give strategic leadership, and then also to exercise oversight. So in the case where there's a negative audit outcomes, we also engage with the executive authority to help the executive authority to understand the audit outcomes. And the executive authority, we also then make recommendations to the executive authority also to ensure that there's audit action plans and to monitor the execution of those audit action plans to ensure that the performance information is accurate and complete, and to ensure that there's consequence management and that policies and procedures are adhered to. And that is the main role of the executive authority in this area. Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Lawrence, with respect, you are giving me an academic response. I am saying give me a response in relation to the findings that you have presented. What were you, we know what were you expecting. Now, what made you to arrive at the decision that you have arrived at, that which you have reported here? What did you get and what you did not get, which made you to come to this conclusion that you have come to? We don't want something that is, I'm just trying to look at what you said, and I don't want us to, you said executive authority provided some assurance, which means you are satisfied but not satisfied. Let us not be academic about it. What were you expecting? What is it that you got? What is it that you did not get? Same applies to the accounting officers. The accounting officer would want to get to know in detail, because we can't be making recommendations to the National Assembly when we do not understand. Or we have a partial understanding as to what are the problems.
Thank you, Chair. So, Chairperson, then to be a bit more practical, let's start off with the role of the accounting officer. So, the role of the accounting officer is defined in the PFMA, and then what we would like to see is that the accounting officer actually exercise those requirements of the PFMA, which means that there must be proper systems of financial management in place, and it means that appropriate action should be taken in any area where there is non-compliance or where there is not adherence to the internal controls. So that is what one would see, want to see from the accounting officer point of view. So when we report through the status of records review, or whether internal audit reports, or whether we report through the interim management or the final management report, it is then not just about the compiling of an action plan, but to actually make sure as an accounting officer that that action plan is effectively executed, and then make sure that if that regular feedback is received, and if it's not done, that appropriate action is then taken against the officials who did not ensure that that plan is actually executed. And then the same goes, for instance, in the area of performance information. There must be a plan now to fix the areas in the performance information, and ultimately the accounting officer should ensure that those plans are effectively implemented and take appropriate action against officials if those plans are actually not implemented. So it also links closely with performance management, for instance. Similarly, if we then look at the role of the executive authority, the executive authority should then ask regular feedback from the accounting officer, and then what one would like to see that feedback from the accounting officer. One would like to see what agreement is taken between the minister and the accounting officer, what further actions will the accounting officer take, what plans are in place, for instance, to fill vacancies, and one would like to see evidence of those engagements between the executive authority and the accounting officer. That is most probably in practice one of the key things that one would like to see. Thank you, Chairperson.
Now, what do you mean by the executive authority providing some assurance? Let's be practical. We want to get to the bottom of the problem. So are you saying that the accounting officer did not provide all of the issues stipulated in the PFMA to the executive authority according to you? And what does providing some assurance by the executive authority mean in light that the accounting officer did not do such?
Chairperson, what we think could change the situation to one of providing assurance is when we are able to clearly see that the executive authority held the accounting authority, the accounting officer to account, and also assist him where necessary, for instance, in the case where there might be a need for intervention by the executive authority, for instance, to fill vacant positions. One would like to see measures like that. Thank you.
That is what we would want in the future. We are dealing with a report which takes historical accounts. So we are asking you questions based on the historical accounts. You said the executive authority provided some assurance. Now we would like to know, going backwards, what were the issues? We do appreciate the fact that you are also forward-looking, but now what is before us is what has already happened. What happened? What do you mean by some and not all?
So Chairperson, what we are basically saying is that if we say some assurance, we believe that there could have been maybe a bit more oversight from the minister in focusing on the specific areas that these repeat findings coming from the previous year. Thank you.
Thank you. Proceed.
Thank you.
I will then hand over to Mr. Mandolo.
Yeah, thanks, Lawrence. Thank you, Chair. Mine is to focus on one specific question, Chair. It's a number of questions, but I think they are interlinked, talking to consequence management, where or maybe touch on to what is sitting on the slide number 17 and 19, where we indicated that in 1 year, they were focused on irregular first, that not all cases were investigated, and then this year we said inadequate evidence. So on the inadequate evidence, Chair, is the department uses a system where they use a register to compile the cases. There's no specific report that gives account that maybe even in a form of an executive summary, that's one. And when you get into the register, it does not have the key information that enables us to be able to select, because that's the source. So we're unable to see what's the status of the audit. The cases which have not been, there's no status at all, whether it has been investigated or not, whether investigation has started or it has been completed. So from the reporting point of view, Chair, that's where we still are at at this point, where we're not able then to carry it through and be able to give an assessment where we say, for these investigations, you're reporting that you're 20%, from what we're seeing only maybe 10%. So we're still at the reporting stage. So the recommendations which we made to the accounting office was that we really need to just focus on how we're reporting on our cases to start with. So that's where the issues we're having, Chair, this year. And then I'm trying to link to the other one. And also, Chair, on these areas, which is mainly around the supply chain and the performance information and consequence management, what we had proposed was that through the processes which we are putting in place to assist the accounting officer and the department, which is status of records review, we wanted to come in and be able to look at that information, mainly around the consequence management, supply chain management issues, and also performance information. So in our status of records review, some of the key things that led to a qualification were not ready for us to review. And as well as some in the interim, they were still being prepared. So we only managed to have a look at them in the final. So that then, the department then does not benefit from that, from those measures we're trying to put in place in as far as the areas that are relating to the qualification. Because if we are then to get the information a little bit ready, when we come in for those reviews, status of records and interim, we're able to give them the early signal warning. I guess maybe that could be one of the contributors to also the repeat finding, Chair. And then I think Chair Mine was all on those ones. I don't know if I've adequately addressed the questions on the consequence management in terms of why, what is hindering us from being able to verify whether investigations are done, whether investigations are in progress or they are complete. It's mainly due to the reporting, Chair. Thank you.
Are you done, Office of the Auditor General?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Unless there's any other questions, thank you.
Thank you very much. There were questions asked by Honorable Serf, which we thought that some of them were directed at the department. There are two ways of dealing with this issue. We are at 9:15 now. Members should be preparing to go to the house. We can use this time until 5:30 to hear the preliminary responses from the department, or the department, when they present tomorrow, they can also incorporate in their response these questions. should we use the next 15 minutes to get some responses from what we have asked from honorable members, which on areas that we directed at the department, or should we wait until tomorrow when they present?
Chairperson.
Honorable Jala. Honorable Jala.
I think, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you. If I can make a comment or a request on the... Yes, thank you, Chair. I think I wanted just to say something before we conclude on the auditors. I heard when they were doing responses, I think I was happy for you to do those follow-up questions because even myself, I was very confused now when we were getting the responses. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. I think from the response, Chairperson, I really got confused. You helped me with those follow-up questions because I would request that even the auditor's office, when they come and report to us, they must also check their responses because when we ask questions. Because I just felt like the responses that we were getting were just giving us a hopeless situation. Because there was some proposals which were done there, which we believe, one would believe that those things should have been done long ago. We are just oversighting those plans and all that. Because I'll make an example, Chair. There's somewhere where the response was saying they need controls in place, they need more training, they need like issues of planning was also also mentioning the issue of management of the contract. So, and it's not only that one also on this issue of the role of the executive, where he was saying a basic leadership is needed, you know. So all those issues that were raised, they really sketched me. I just felt like we needed to go down to this issue. But now, because of you have asked questions, Chair, when departments come here, we need them to report on the actual, exactly what is happening and give us also the exact situation. And if the situation is gloom, they must just say it upfront. Because we can't be coming every year here and talk about these issues. And when the people whom we have assigned to assist us, in terms of those mechanisms of monitoring and also checking for us, we get such reports. So my request is that when they come and report about this issue, let them give us the real situation. Is there any training? Is it helping? Are there controls? Are they helping? You know, just be direct to the point so that we are able to deal with this issues. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Jolie. I think we have summarized it very well.
Apologies, Honorable Chair. There's a follow-up request from Honorable Wilmer.
Yes, I'm coming to Honorable Wilmer. I was just saying to Honorable Jolie, I think she has summarized it very well. What we need from the Office of the Auditor General, we do not need diplomacy. We need the real state of affairs put in that way. Don't try to be diplomatic. Tell us things as they are so that we can understand them. You know, in the diplomatic world, you would go to a country and get the worst services. But before the meeting starts, everybody would be saying, would like to thank the host for the excellent facilities. It's more of a route. It's just a ritual. They will always do that, even if the facilities were the worst facilities. So we don't want diplomatic language. We want things to be written in the way as that reflects the state of affairs. I think Honorable Jale captured it very well. Honorable Velma?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair. I just wanted to follow up in terms of clarity from the Office of the AG. When you responded to my questions about the slides, referring to the slides, the response was that there's a register, that the department keeps a register. So are you saying that the register that the department keeps, is the register, does it not contain any information? And, you know, previously the AG suggested that a register be kept, and that was not, that was not implemented. Did the accounting officer not benefit? Also, if the accounting officer did not benefit from the AG's recommendation, does that mean that the accounting officer does not know how to follow through the AG's recommendation, starting with the register? So I'm not very clear. I'd like a more detailed response on what the AG expected from this register, with the consequence. What they expected from the register and what they did not receive, and results of that and reasons for that. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Nugut.
Chair?
Yes.
Yes.
We couldn't get your last, are you done? Your last few words.
Oh, the last few words, yes, I'm done. But the last part was that in terms of the accounting officer, the AG had said the accounting officer did not benefit from the AG's training. So does that mean that the accounting officer did not implement the recommendations previously? For example, did not keep this register that was meant to be kept? So just in terms of that specifically, giving more detail in terms of that, what the AG had said. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. AG, there are two issues from Honourable Jale and Honourable Newood Drachen.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I will ask Mr. Madolo just to give you a bit more detail on the Register of Investigations. Basically, on a high level, it means that for each case of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, and for each case of irregular expenditure, they should be recorded in a register, and then from there on there should be information that should enable us to understand who has been the officials that has been involved in the irregular expenditure, and then there should be information on the investigation. When was the investigation done? When was the investigation concluded? What was the actual sanction? If there is a conclusion made that someone cannot be held responsible, that conclusion should also be there. So that's basically the starting point of the register that we are talking about. So if you look in the case of the Department of Correctional Services, let's take for instance the 1 billion rands additional irregular expenditure that's been identified relating to this year and the prior year. Behind that sits a number of individual transactions, which could be hundreds of transactions, if not thousands. So it means that register actually contains a lot of information, and that is why we need to know per case what is the actual status of the investigation on each of those cases. But I'll give to Mr. Mandola maybe just to give you more details. Thank you.
Okay. May I, Chair?
Yes, you can.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks, Lawrence. I think you've largely covered the concerns. There's also in the previous financial year, after we reported, Chair, where we said the cases were not investigated, those ones were a little bit easier from our side, because previously about over 90% of the cases were cases which were identified by the auditors. So from there, we were able to ask specific questions and say, this one, what has been done? So now, moving forward in this year, when there's another billion rand which has been added to the irregular expenditure for the entire population, so now we then need management to then give us, as Lawrence indicated, to take us through the specific cases. So if the register does not allow that, does not move from the individual transaction to a direct link to what is sitting in the register and the status, therefore, it doesn't enable us, Chair, to then follow up on that. And then it will then get to the investigation files, where the investigation files will then link back to the register. So that's a trail that we will need to follow from our side, Chair, to verify, so that we can be able to come to the committee and say, committee, from our verification, we verified so many cases, and out of those cases, we agree with the status that is reported by the department, or we don't agree. So we're unable to get to that point and really give the committee that sense. Thank you. And I think there was a question around the department benefiting from our initiatives. I explained when Mr. Desi came in, she explained some of the things that we have, some of the initiatives we have from the office to assist the department. So my linking to these cases was saying, if maybe we can have these registers and these reports may be ready, updated by the department as early as possible when we do our status of records review, when we do our entry, we can be able to then highlight some of the hindrances that we have from our side. But if we only interact with those in the final audit, it doesn't allow them the opportunity for the department to maybe correct, if they can still correct, some of the issues. And then from year to year, then if it then is not attended to on time, Then the matters just keep on recurring. So I think there's a timing issue, Chair, which the OCD department needs to look at to make sure that things are done before then we can come in and be able to provide and add the necessary things. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Nobot, are you okay? Are you fine? Honorable Nebot, Honorable Chele, are you fine?
For now, Chair, I'm okay. Because the following questions from what we have just...
I think she's fine, but there's a problem with her. Yes, Chair, there's a network problem that she's freezing, but Honorable Wilma says she's fine. Thank you for the responses.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chair,
I think from what they just said now, I think we'll have questions to the department, because we are still going to talk to them all. Can I just ask them so that they tell us exactly why are they registered and reports not been given to the auditors, so that they can go to the bottom of this issue of irregular chairperson. And also that one, they will have to give us a report exactly why are these cases not investigated by the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. You know, I think it would be important to, I think this one would go both to the Office of the Auditor General, if they can, and to our researchers for early next year, just to get the performance of the department when it was still a standalone department, as Department of Correctional Services. What was the performance even with regard to the audit performance? And then after 2014, when the departments were merged, until now, if you were to compare the two scenarios, what do they give you? And is it still the same? Has the department improved? Has the department become worse? I'm not sure whether generally is that possible on your side?
Yes, Chair, we can go back into the audit outcomes for the last 10 years and we can give you a summary of that. That should help you.
That would be appreciated. Research unit, if you can also do the same, just so that we can be able to assess as to whether the whole model is working or not.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, it's 9:30 now, but I must get Honourable James Self. Honourable Self, will you be uncomfortable that if your questions are answered tomorrow when the department presents?
No, Chairperson, that's absolutely fine. But then one would expect the department to come with a degree of specificity. Again, like you, I don't want generalized answers. I want specific answers. And if I can be cheeky and sneak in an extra question, they can come and explain to us why they've released Mr. Andile Lungisa in the Eastern Cape on parole, who's serving a 2-year sentence for assault. Seems to extraordinary. He's only served about a month of that sentence.
Okay, now let's deal with the annual report. I think that question would be directed to the minister and to the parole board. But I think the acting DG, if he has information, he can attend to that tomorrow. So, honourable members, can we end at this point? I'm just worried that tomorrow we will just get the presentation of the department, and then on Friday we'll adopt the BRRR. Maybe we might consider a need to meet, let's say, after the sitting tomorrow, to have our reflections on the presentation that would have been made by both the department and the AG as to what do you think are the interventions that are needed. But I think let's discuss that tomorrow if there will be a need for that meeting after the sitting. Because I think from 9:30 tomorrow when we adjourn to the House, then we would meet on Friday to adopt the BRRR reports. We wouldn't have reflected properly on the department's performance and what are we making of what has been presented by both the AG and the department to us. Can you think about it? Maybe we can deliberate on that tomorrow.
Agreed, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, the meeting is adjourned until tomorrow, 8 o'clock, because of the sitting.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.